constantly thinking of you. We haven't forgotten you. And plus, some of us are continued friends on Facebook and enjoy some of the humor that we get from you, and to share a little bit of that. It's always good to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, and preachers are the most blessed because we get to work with some of the best people on earth. Truly blessed. And thanks to Bobby for, I was going to say putting us up, but really putting up with us this week. And it seems like we were just unpacking our car, and today Judy was packing the suitcase to get ready to go tomorrow. We're making a round-trip tour. We're going down to Kentucky to see my aunt and uncle, who are not all that old. They're just in their middle 80s, so some of us have hit that, and some of us will if we live. But it's good to see visitors from other congregations and some who've not been able to be here who are here tonight, and others who've not been able to be here and all week, but I know that their heart, where their heart is. But you didn't come here to hear me go on and on. But thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to these young men that have led our singing. Isaac and Sam, Aaron, Zach, done a wonderful job, haven't they? Yes, you did. And I thank you for that and the growth that I've seen in them and Ryan's good prayer tonight. Watch that little boy grow up into a man and remain faithful, go away from his home congregation and still be faithful. And gives us hope. We hear so much bad news in this world. It's just good to see. Good to see godly parents doing their homework and their children following suit. Keep up the good work. Well, we'll close this series of lessons with a lesson we've entitled The Second Coming. But before we get into that, we want to read a passage to you. Very, very familiar passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. That's a good sermon title right there. Preach the Word. If you're going to begin preaching, or if you're going to preach any time, preach the Word. Don't preach your opinion. Don't preach your thoughts. You preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Our highways are dotted with denominations that are not teaching the truth. They will not defend their doctrines. We can't get them to come here and stand before you and debate or discuss the issues that differ, causing us to differ. So preach the Word. Don't be drawn away in any way. Don't allow it to come in here. You've got a good eldership, and be thankful for that. And so we need to be warned by the Word of God that we need to warn ourselves. Paul warned the Ephesian elders, remember in Acts chapter 20, to oversee the flock over which God had made them the overseers. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, John says, try the spirits, test them, try the teachers, make sure they are teaching the truth. In 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. If we're not teaching the truth, we don't have God. I don't care how long you've believed false doctrine, it is still false doctrine. Remember Galatians chapter 1, Paul the apostle warns us, though we, an apostle or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, he repeats nearly the same thing when he says, if any man, that includes Brian, that includes me, that includes anybody in here that attempts to preach or teach the Word of God. If we teach something other than the Word of God, then we don't have God. On and on we could go with the passages that warn us. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Jesus himself said, "Beware. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, or in wolf's clothing, but inwardly, in sheep's clothing rather, but inwardly are ravening wolves." You know what a wolf would do to you. And so we need to be warned, just like the Bible says. So we're going to talk about the second coming as we want to move along tonight. There's false teachers and false teaching about the second coming, and multi-billions of people believe that there is such a thing as a rapture. They'll have signs, as we'll talk about, on the backs of their cars, on their church buildings. They'll have tracts teaching it, that the coming, when Jesus comes again, that it will be a quiet coming. And they say, this is what they tell you. I've read their books. I've had their teachers tell me the football team will break the huddle and they'll get ready to hike the ball and the quarterback won't be there because he's been raptured off the earth. Again, they'll tell you the center fielder from on the baseball team. They'll look out there, well, where did he go? Oh, he's been raptured off the earth. All the righteous, they say, will be raptured off the earth. I've seen a huge placard, maybe 6x4, of airplanes crashing to the ground. Wouldn't want to be on those airplanes if the pilot has been raptured out of that airplane. But they say that's what's going to happen. I've seen the planes as they begin to dive towards the earth. That's what they call the rapture. And all those who are raptured off the earth, they're going to be up in heaven for 7 years. 7 years. And then they're going to return to the earth. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. Is it going to be a silent, secret coming? Will your husband or your wife, will you wake up one morning and they won't be there because they've been raptured out? And you know who's the only ones going to be left on the earth are all the wicked people for 7 years. But the Bible says, what was that TV show, The Family Feud? What's he say? Survey says, well, we have another phrase. The Bible says, if you want to know what God thinks about something, that's where you need to go. And Paul tells us, the Lord will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. It's not going to be God tippy-toeing in and sneaking all the righteous off the earth. When he comes again, it's going to be a loud incident. Not quiet at all. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, beginning. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. If he were to come right now, see, we haven't died. If it were right now, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. What's a trumpet for? It's to be heard, isn't it? Everybody's going to be aware of it. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. One of our songs we sing that says, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. If he were to come right now, this body would hit the ground. So would yours. But your spirit would leave your body. The body without the spirit, James 2 tells us, is dead. And when that spirit leaves the body, and if he were to come now, that's exactly what would happen. This robe of flesh, this bag of dust, as it were. And we'll all know. We'll all know. There won't be just a few of us taken. We're all going to know about it. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. You can Google this on your computer. The Hubble telescope tells us that there are over 100 billion stars, and they'll say below that there's probably 200 billion galaxies. They know there's 100 billion galaxies. You know what our Milky Way galaxy is, don't you? How big it is? You need to look at that. Our galaxy is 100 1,000 light years across. You travel 186,000 miles a second for 100,000 years, and you might be able to go from one end to the other. 186,000 miles a second for 100,000 years. That's to get from one end of our galaxy to the other, and they tell us there's 100 billion, and probably, they said, in a few years, they'll tell us there's 200 billion. So what's going to happen? The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And this passage that's so often in the book of Revelation, are you hearing me? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear, indeed. It's not going to be a secret or silent coming. You're not going to wake up and read in the newspaper, where did all these people go? What happened to them? It's not in the book, is it? They say there will be two second comings. The one when he raptures everybody off, and then when he comes back again. What's going to happen? The righteous, they say, will be raptured at the first coming, then after 7 years of tribulation. Because the only ones that are left on the earth are the wicked. Imagine that. No righteous people. All the wicked are left. And they're just going to get in such a turmoil that in 7 years is going to be the battle of Armageddon. It won't take you long to talk to somebody that you'll find out that they know all about the battle of Armageddon, about which the Bible says nothing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, beginning, there's just one coming. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. When Christ comes, it's going to be the end of all things. He's not going to come once and rapture all the righteous. When he comes, that will be the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. When he comes, there'll be no more death. There'll be no more dying. Just like Revelation 21:4 says. Because that's all over. Those souls in hell, they're going to live forever in torment. Like the rich man in the book of Luke. And those in heaven are going to live in paradise with God, with the saved of all ages, and with all of the angels. Forever. There will be no more death. It won't be a silent coming. Nobody's going to tiptoe off the earth. Nobody's going to be snuck off the earth and leave all the wicked. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 4. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Look at this phrase. It's underlined. For yourselves know perfectly. You already know this, he says. That the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Not the days of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Or did Paul miss it? No, if Paul missed it, then the Holy Spirit missed it because he revealed it to him. And that means that God missed it because it's the Word of God. See what a mess that makes? And Paul said, you know perfectly well. Ever have anybody tell you, you know perfectly well. I don't have to tell you this. This is what's going to happen. When he comes, it's going to be as a thief in the night. And you talk to somebody and they'll tell you, oh, they know the Lord is going to be coming soon. You just know that they don't know what they're talking about. Jesus said, I don't even know. The angels don't know. Read Matthew chapter 24. But the Father only. You know perfectly that he comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, but that the day should overtake you as a thief. We know He's coming, don't we? We know we're going to die. We just don't know when we're going to die. I have the date of my birth. You know the date of my birth. I've told many of you over and over for 100 years. But I don't know what. I don't know the other side of that dash yet, do I? But it's coming, unless the Lord beats it. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. You're aware of that day. It's narrowed down to one day, not 7 years between them. When He comes, the righteous are caught up. At the same time, the wicked will be overtaken and destroyed. You see, we're not going to have several lifted off the earth, raptured off the earth. These country singers are talking about a rapture. We raptured off the earth. Where do they get that? They're not reading the Bible, are they? They're listening to these false teachers. And we need to let them know that we're not in agreement with them because they're not in agreement with the Bible. It may not be politically correct. And when we stop exposing the false teachers, then we've got a problem. We'll become part of the problem. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse 8. The righteous and the wicked are going to be raised at the same time. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Here's that word again. On the day He comes to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This, Paul says, includes you because you believed our testimony to you. You know what's going to happen. When He comes, as we're going to say again, everybody's going to see. Everybody's going to know. Acts 24:15. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust, on the day when He comes. Not two separate comings. Not two separate comings. Look at Acts 17:31. Because He has appointed a day. There's that word again. Not days. In the which He will judge the world in righteousness. By that man whom He hath ordained, or by that man whom He hath appointed, and you know who that is. Our Lord is our Savior now, but on that day He will be our judge. Now He can do things for us when we pray. We can be forgiven. He died as a perfect sacrifice. He indeed is our Savior. Even the angel prophesied, call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Well, when will this occur, Lord? Will there be two separate comings? Survey says. What has the survey said? Oh, there are going to be two comings. Ah! That's what they do on that TV show, isn't it? They put an X on the screen. You missed it. No, over and over. The day, the day, the day. And the blessing about lessons like this, and you all are videoing, if that's the right term. I'm not sure of the alphabet, but you can go back and see. And if we're missing the mark, let us know, okay? If you said, oh, here's a passage that talks about the rapture, people taken up off the earth, you didn't tell us that. Let me know. John 5, verse 28. We've said the day, the day, the day. Jesus said, marvel not at this. For the hour, it's now narrowed down to 1 hour. For the hour is coming in the which some that are in their graves, no, all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. Just the righteous. Just the righteous will hear Him when He comes. What'd you say, Jesus? And shall come forth, they that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. When is that going to happen? Look at the top of the page. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. The hour is coming. What's going to happen? All that are going to be in their graves. Not just a few. All. Place all these passages that we've mentioned together. See if you can come up with a separate coming of the Lord for the saints only. Have we read that? And everybody righteous going to be sent up to heaven for 7 years and then come back after those 7 years because of the horrible battle? Do we read anything about a rapture? Have you, in all of your studies of the Bible, I don't care how old or young, has anybody ever pointed out to you in your Bible class where, oh where? Just like Jesus told the Sadducees, ye do err not knowing the Scriptures. You are wrong because you don't know the Scriptures. He could tell them that. When we get sweeter than Jesus, we're too sweet. If somebody's missing the mark, they need to know it. You know, my teachers didn't have any trouble when I missed the mark. They had a red pen or a red pencil, and if I was wrong, if I gave the wrong date or the wrong name or the wrong answer to a math question, boom, you missed it. Oh, but you can't do that in religion. Jesus did. Jesus did, didn't he? Matthew 22, verse 29, ye do err not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power. Where is the rapture in Scripture? Where is there a 7 years of tribulation on earth? Where is that? Where is another coming of the Lord and the beginning of a 1,000-year reign on earth? You'd think it would be so plain. Well, oh, Brother Hafley, you missed it. What Bible you've been reading? Then you are reading an idea for which there are no words of the Lord. We've always said we need a what? Thus saith the Lord. If it's not in here, you don't practice it, you don't preach it. But if it is, what do? You remember Galatians 1, 8 and 9 that we referred to? Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, if an apostle comes along and tries to teach some other gospel, let him be accursed. Have the wrath of God. You do not want the wrath of God upon you. You know that passage. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. There it is. Let's burn it into our heart. Even if we or an angel from heaven. You got that? Paul, the apostle, said that. If we, inspired men, preach some other gospel. Verse 9, as we have said before. Think he wants us to know this? How important it is? You preach something else, you're wrong. The duration. Our friends who believe in the rapture say that the saints will soar to meet the Lord in the air for 7 heavenly years before being hauled back to the earth for 1,000 earthly years and to reign in his earthly kingdom. What's the survey say? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And what? So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oops, we better erase that. I don't believe that. No, we're just going to go up there for 7 years and then come back down here and set up an earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. No, that's right, Zach. It ain't happening. You may go to your grave believing that, but you will arise from that grave knowing that you were taught error, you believed error, and that never saved anybody. He's just talking about the righteous here in this context. Members of the church didn't understand. They thought if their relatives had died, they were missing out. No. He said, the dead in Christ are going to be Jew. They will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we what? Is that over your head? You understand that, can't you? And somebody come along and tell you, no, that's not right. Who are they condemning? Well, themselves, to eternal punishment. The Bible doesn't say this, does it? And so shall we be for 7 years with the Lord? No. To what will they return after the 7 years of tribulation, if there be such? Survey says, 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which you know perfectly well, don't you? Just like the Thessalonians did. It'll be as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. How many galaxies did we say? 200 billion. Pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also. You're going to come back after 7 years in heaven to what? Oh. Did you ever miss a bottom step? Think you run the bottom step? And you weren't. Fourth, they say, the visible coming, they say, the wicked will not see the Lord when he comes to rapture the righteous. See, if I'm not raptured off, I'm one of the wicked. What happened? I didn't see the Lord, did you? That's what they say. How do we account for this blindness? They say the Lord is coming for his saints, and then he will come with his saints after the 7 years. The first time he will not be seen by everyone or manifested, but he will be seen the second time. That's what they say. You're going to miss him the first time, but you won't the second time. What's the Bible say? It will be a visible coming, won't it? Revelation 1 and verse 7. It's in your Bible too. It's in their Bible. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye, not just the righteous, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Every eye. Who's going to be raised? The righteous and the wicked. In that hour. Remember that? John 5, 28 and 29. You can go back through all these verses. You can look them up on the screen as you rehearse this lesson again. Bible says, again, it will be a visible coming. To the apostles in Acts 1, verse 11, ye men of Galilee, the angel said, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you to heaven, shall so come. What's that mean? Just like he left in the clouds, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. I'm sorry, Brother Hafley, I can't get that. Yes, you can. If I can understand it, I know you can understand it. And you know what people tell us? You know we can't see the Bible alike. It's just impossible. I've told you before. I asked a preacher who told me that. He said, you know, we can't see the Bible alike after he got his foot into a trap. Well, just leave me alone because we can't see the Bible alike. I said, do you think two people could see the Bible alike? And he said, I suppose all the millions of people in the world, yeah. I said, what about 200 people? He said, I suppose 200 could. I said, well, what about 2,000? Yeah, I suppose 2,000 could. I said, what about 200,000? And he put a stop to it. He said, oh, I see where you're going. But it was too late. He said, we can't all see it alike, but he said, 2 can, 200 can, 2,000 could. But he just said, we can't see it alike. But you know what he expects us to understand? That we can't understand the Bible alike. Do you get that? Did God give us a book to show us how to get to heaven that, man, am I confused? I'll tell you what will confuse you is when you listen to a false teacher. You will not have any trouble with God's plan of salvation. You may have people make fun of you for teaching those steps of salvation that you must hear, you must believe, you must repent of your past sins, you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and then be baptized in water, buried in water, and arise to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. It's just too simple. You have to have help to misunderstand this. This is not algebra. This is our God speaking to us. And He wants us to go to heaven. Premillennial view. They say Christ isn't reigning now. He's got to wait till after that 7 years and then come back and set up an earthly kingdom like Saul and David and Solomon's. That's their teaching. That Christ will begin His reign at His third coming. After this 1,000-year reign, Christ will establish a kingdom at His return. That is their thinking. Survey says Christ is now reigning. What does the Bible say? Christ will end His reign at His coming. We read this earlier. Then cometh the end. You know what the end is, don't you? Then cometh the end. Remember what Jesus said? When the righteous and the wicked all shall be raised from the grave, that's the end. In the hour, on that day, then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That's what's going to happen when He comes again. He's not going to set up a kingdom. Remember what He told Pilate in John 18 and verse 36? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. They thought Jesus was an insurrectionist and He was going to try to take over the Roman Empire. And if I'm the Roman emperor, I want this man dead because he's trying to take my place. Misunderstood, even the Jews. They didn't want Jesus. The Romans didn't want Jesus. He's already reigning, isn't He? He's going to reign until He comes. He's not going to begin His reign when He comes. Not at all. Not at all. Survey says, Christ is now reigning. Verse 25, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Christ will end His reign at His coming. Whenever that may be, you don't know, I don't know. There was a fellow by the name of William Miller in 1844 who said he had figured it out, mathematically I suppose, the day of when the Lord was going to come, I think it was in the fall of 1844, and he sold people ascension robes. Guess who got rich off of that? And the people sold their houses. I said, why didn't they just give them away? If they were so sure Jesus was coming that day, what good was the money going to do them that they'd gotten for their house? Methinks they said, if He doesn't come, I don't want to be homeless. Well, He didn't come in 1844, did He? So Mr. Miller said, oh, made a mistake. Mathematical calculation, 1845. Same thing happened. Same thing happened in the early 1900s. Judge Rutherford told everybody that millions now living will never die. He wrote a book about it, and then they got it out of print because millions did die. Jesus didn't come. One of our older preachers years ago told us, he said, those people, they took the day off work. The kids that thought that, they didn't come to school. They knew the Lord was coming, but he didn't come, did he? You're going to hear it. I've heard it several times in my lifetime. When I was a little boy, my neighbors told me the Lord was going to come in the 50s. They knew it. He was coming in the 50s. I have a book in my library at home, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Going to Come in 1988. Missed it again. Survey says, we've already read what the Bible says, haven't we? Is that enough? Well, we're about halfway through this, but I think you've heard enough. If this doesn't prove it to you, then what will? It might be like the judge who said, there's 11 witnesses that were eyewitnesses that saw this crime committed, but I won't believe it unless I have one more. No, you get one more, you get a dozen more. If he doesn't believe it with 11 witnesses, he's not going to believe it with 20. If you don't believe what we've taught tonight, then you show us. I've had people walk out and tell me, I didn't agree with your lesson. Well, wait. Don't keep walking. Stop and tell me why you didn't agree. Just didn't agree. Is that fair? I gave you evidence. Now you give me some. I think that's fair. God has given us everything we need, and it's not hard. The world makes it hard. Too many Joel Osteens, and yes, even Billy Graham, who led millions and millions of people to an eternal hellfire. Come down front, accept Jesus as your Savior, and you'll be saved. I remember in the 50s as a little boy, watching his crusades in the huge tents and in the huge stadiums, much like Joel Osteen today. My 20-year-old granddaughter said, "Who's Billy Graham?" Who's Billy Graham? Who are you? You have opportunity tonight to become a child of God. It may not be popular today. I've said so many times when I was a teenager, you know who I wanted to be like? Thank you very much. Elvis Presley. When I had hair, comb my hair like him, dress like him, try to sing like him in the shower, you know. Want to trade places with him? No, you do not. When his heart quit beating in, what was it, August 17th of 1977, what did he know? He knew something he hadn't known before, didn't he? You can be in his shoes if you so choose. The rich man said, "I don't want my brothers to come here. Send Lazarus back and tell them, please." God through Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And that's what I'm telling you. You need to hear the word of Almighty God or dismiss it today, tonight, and be lost in an eternal hellfire. You'll regret it for all eternity. But if you should respond to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the murderer of Christians, Saul, did, when he arose and was baptized and had his sins washed away, just like the Bible says in Acts 22, verse 16. You remember Ron Groves, who stood in this same pulpit one evening during that debate, what, how many years ago? Said, "I don't see any water in Acts 22, 16. We had it on the board. Rise and be baptized and wash away." He said, "I don't see any water in that passage." I guess, yes, the God of this world will blind you, but don't let him blind you. You're going to miss too much for too long to rise and be baptized as your Savior who died for you on that Roman cross. Won't you die for him, crucify yourself for him, that you might live with him in eternity. You can do that by complying your will to his right now while we stand, Isaac, while we sing.